No King's Day. Huge event. I mean, incredible. You know, American democracy, okay, so it's struggling, but it ain't dead yet. And according to Fox News, I mean, Fox News is not inclined to report, you know, kindly on any activity opposing President Trump. Fox News reported that there were over 5 million people participating in King's Day, No King's Day actions around the country. And there were 2,000 or more. Kathy discovered one action on a road trip that wasn't even listed on the in the catalog of the places that were holding actions. So there were at least 2,000 actions and at least 5 million people there. So even our, you know, we have a corporate paper here in Des Moines, the Des Moines Register. The Des Moines Register has never been inclined to report crowd size accurately. It always underestimates it, sometimes very significantly. I remember, you know, a couple events where they would say a couple or a few hundred people were at an event, you know, and I'd do a crowd count, 1,000, you know, or close to 1,000. So they were way off. In this case, the Des Moines Register reported 7,000. So at least 7,000 people at the rally here in Des Moines and all over the country. I mean, in Seattle, what I see in Seattle, 70,000 people in Seattle. So, yeah, 5 million people. That's 1.5% of Americans. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, right? You know, when you compare it with the Super Bowl viewership, that's at 41%. So 41% of Americans watch the Super Bowl, and that's great. But 1.5% is really significant because, you know, the research, and there's been a lot of research on this, research says that when you can get to 3.5% of the population who are mobilized nonviolently against corruption, against a regime, then significant political change happens. It's practically guaranteed to happen. Now, a lot of that work is the work of Erica Chenoweth. She's a very noted political scientist from Harvard. Maybe that's one reason Trump wants to shut Harvard down. But she's done deeper research than anybody I know, and she's looked at hundreds of campaigns over the past century. And her conclusion, you know, was pretty clear on two fronts. And you know, she's honest about this too. She says going into the research, again, over 20 years worth of research, she wasn't expecting this conclusion. So two things. First, it takes 3.5% of the population actively participating in protests to bring about serious political change. Secondly, and this is fascinating, nonviolent campaigns are twice as likely to achieve their goals as violent campaigns. Lots of reasons for that. And I'll go into those some other time, but there's a long conversation about that. So it was really good news to me that the protests on Saturday across the country were huge and almost completely nonviolent. You know, in Des Moines, we did have a convoy of local pickup trucks, some of them spewing black smoke, some of them sporting flags, American flags, and plenty of Trump banners on those trucks. You know, and that's cool. That's great. You know, that's their right. They have a right to be out there. And as far as I know, there were no confrontations with the No Kings protesters. There were, 36 actions in Iowa alone. And as far as I know, I heard of no conflicts between protesters and counter-protesters. So, good. Everybody has a right to have their voice heard. So, and then across the country, again, with 5 million people, you're wondering, well, did any violence break out? Well, a little bit, not much. In Los Angeles, the police used tear gas and other crowd-dispersing tools that I'm not even familiar with. They used that on protesters at the end of the scheduled event. That also happened in Portland, Oregon. I'm not sure if anyone was hurt or arrested. I haven't been able to ascertain that yet. We're taping this program on Monday afternoon, June 16th. So in Culpeper, Virginia, a person was struck by a car. A protester was struck by a car when the driver, a young guy, was like 21, I guess. He intentionally accelerated into the crowd as protesters were leaving the rally. Now, he was charged with reckless driving, and, you know, that could have been a lot worse. So we've seen angry drivers doing a lot more damage and killing people with their vehicles. You know, I will say this too about the Des Moines. I don't know what it was like around the country. Well, apparently in Los Angeles, there was a lot of law enforcement, but I didn't see a single police officer in Des Moines. They were probably there. It was a huge crowd. But I walked all the way around the assembled protesters. I didn't see a single police officer. So good for that. Maybe they're just ignoring us. But anyway, there was one tragic incident in Salt Lake City, Utah. The details are still coming out, but it appears that a guy protesting the protest pulled out a rifle, and it was not just casual, it was fairly threatening. And one of the event's peacekeepers happened to have a gun, and he fired 3 shots. And he wounded the guy with the rifle, but he killed one of the other protesters. So there's going to be lots of analysis of that. And yeah, I don't know. Usually when you have peacekeepers at a rally, they don't have guns. It's hard to know how that would have ended if the guy hadn't been shot. I don't know. But it's tragic at any rate. We'll have to see what comes of that. So, you know, I mean, this is a really pivotal moment. And what's happening with these protests, I think, is best summed up by a guy named Peter Verratti. He's 54. He was attending the No Kings rally in Los Angeles, and he was quoted in an Associated Press story. He said, quote, "I voted for Donald Trump because of the economy, and now I regret that because he's taken this fascism to a new level. It's Latinos now. Who's next? It's gays, blacks after that. They're coming for everybody." So this is a guy who's figured it out. And I'm hearing from more and more people who voted for Trump who were saying, not what I voted for. So, a lot of people standing up and saying this is not acceptable. Democracy not yet dead in the U.S., good news. The would-be king is in the White House there. He and his entourage are working on killing democracy. But we still have a fighting chance. And I think the big question now after the No Kings Day is where does the movement go from here? Well, let's look at where Trump wants to go from here. This morning, a couple hours ago, Trump, here's a quote from an AP story. Trump directs ICE to expand deportations in Democratic-run cities, which would be most big cities, right? So Trump has traveled far from his campaign promise. You know, he was there about deport the criminals, right? And now he's targeting pretty much any immigrant, except, of course, he's concerned about hotel workers, restaurant workers, those who pick our crops, those who work in the packing plants that process our meat. He's concerned that we're overdoing it on those workers because they are pretty much essential. So, this declaration today by Trump comes, weeks after Stephen Miller, the deputy chief of staff and the guy who's really the brains behind Trump's immigration deportation strategy, he said that ICE officers would now target at least 3,000 arrests a day. So how ambitious is that? Well, they're 650 a day now, so they've got a ways to go. And I don't know how they get there without arresting, food workers, hotel workers, farm workers, meat packing plant workers. And then maybe the other people that Verratti warned they're going to be coming for. So I don't know. So, I don't doubt that we will see raids across the country like the one we saw in L.A. Trump will, continue to, federalize the National Guard. He'll continue to send in the Marines, probably, I mean, what's to stop him? He's going to probably do that. There are court cases, and those are going against him. We'll see if that can hold. But what's also going to grow is the movement against him. So Trump has an enemy in this, not just the 1.5 million people who turned out. His enemy is the U.S. Constitution, especially the First Amendment. And again, the First Amendment had a very good weekend. So we know where Trump's going next, 3,000 deportations a day. But the big question is, what will the opposition do next? So, No King Day organizers have done a good job so far, not just this past weekend, but over the past 4 months. And I expect organizers will continue to emphasize the importance of keeping this movement nonviolent. Two good friends of mine, Mark and Paul Engler from Des Moines, they are the authors of, quote, "This is an Uprising." That's the name of the book. Great book. They build on Erica Chenoweth's work, and they chronicle a lot of many of the nonviolent campaigns of the past half century or so. And Paul and others wrote a column recently. I think it was published in These Times, but also on their Substack page. their Substack page, whose name I'm forgetting, but look it up, Paul Engler. The column is called Trump's Manufactured Crisis and the Urgency of Strategic Nonviolence, and I'll quote from that. Following the example of other authoritarians, Donald Trump wants us to burn cars. He wants us to throw rocks. He wants images of chaos, especially violence against police or National Guard troops. He wants that to flood the evening news. He wants to manufacture chaos as a means of justifying repression and extending his authoritarian raids on our communities. We must not fall into this trap. Instead, we must rally mass participation in a way that shines a spotlight on his abuses of power, his violence, his desire for chaos. So, you know, I mean, continued power to the people and continue the focus on nonviolence. So, you know, may the 1.5% that we had this weekend grow to 3.5%. And I think if Trump continues and the atrocities continue to build, we will see that. I think more and more Trump voters are going to start saying, that's not what I voted for.